here. You've crossed over to the dark side. Now you're talking about football, which has got to be kind of weird. You've had a great podcast for years, but now you're talking ball every week.
Yeah, man, this is very, very exciting for me. Looking forward to the new chapter in my life, in the media world. So I'm excited to be joining you every Thursday and Sunday to talk some football and give like some real raw feedbacks and reactions.
Yeah, man. So I saw it on Twitter when the Tua hit happened, and you saw it live when he goes down. And after a healthy season, he makes it through last year. He puts up the big numbers. He leads the NFL in passing yards. He gets the Dolphins to the playoffs. They give him the $200 million contract. It's $53 million a year. And then this play happens, which I want to get your thoughts on as a former player, because most of the live analysis was preventable play, not a smart play. Tua go down. Don't take that hit in that situation. So that was the initial response, Pat. And then almost immediately after that, there was the reaction of, what's this guy's football future? Because of his history of concussions, he had 3 2 years ago. It kept him out of the playoff game against Buffalo. And now people are looking at that play and they're thinking his football mortality might have flashed before our eyes. So, man, you had a great career. I'm just curious, across the board here, that Tua hit, what your reaction is to it.
Yeah, it was tough to see, because I was honestly literally talking with my neighbor. We was watching the game together, and I was just giving him praise on, how he's been, protecting himself, being able to finish a season out last year. And literally next thing, freaking 4 plays later, that happened. And it definitely was a preventable play, in my opinion. You have to also understand the situations that you already been in as a football player, as a quarterback, and understand the liberty that you have once you do slide. You put yourself at a less chance of getting a concussion or somebody even touching you. In my opinion, I would have liked to see Tua slide in that situation versus going head first, already knowing the history that you already have had with concussions.
Why do you think he doesn't in that situation? Is it the way he's wired as a player? Is it like something that you can't, you practice it, you tell him, but he can't get himself to do it in games, Pat? I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, Pony, I think that's a really, really tough answer, question to answer, because, like you said, coach, I'm sure coach has been talking to him about it, sliding and protecting yourself, make sure you're taking all precautions of making sure that you can walk back to the huddle under your own power. Those situations are kind of tough, man, because you see running like quarterbacks who are mobile have problems sliding. So he may not even be comfortable sliding. Who knows, what the situation may be. But like I said, I'm more than positive that everyone in that Dolphins organization, in that Dolphins building, has been in his ear about sliding, getting down, being more careful when you are at liberty of getting hit by a defender. And not being a defensive player as well, so I'm sure those messages have been, preached to him. And then unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's resonating with him very well.
Pat, I don't think we've ever talked about this. Are you somebody that personally has any concussion history? Is that something you've gone through in your life?
No, I had one concussion in my career, and that was 2014 against the Philadelphia Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember who the receiver was, but I know Deion Buchanan, my own teammate, was the guy who basically caused a concussion. It was a friendly fire.
We know that obviously there's so much heightened awareness on concussions now and so much more research to it. And that cuts both ways. Like, I think people are more sensitive to it and knowing brain injuries are not an easy thing. You can't get a new brain. So on one hand, I look at it like, hey, you've got to make a decision about your football future because you've got to, you know, your life and family and people to think about long term. But at the same time, the way that they're treated is much better. You know, I'm in Pittsburgh. You know that, Pat. Like Sidney Crosby's career almost 10 years ago now was completely looked like his whole hockey career was on the precipice of ending because of concussion problems. And he got through it. And it's been really a non-factor for him the last 8 or 9 years. So it looked like this was behind Tua. It's come back again. And who knows? I would think he's going to miss at least a few weeks, which puts the Dolphins now at 1-1 and in a bit of a perilous spot. Before the injury happened, though, Pat, a couple things about this game that I think we got to address. The first one is, you know, Miami, we're going to look at the turnovers in this game, and a couple of them were not Tua's fault. The pick six was. That was just a clumsy play, and you tried to throw it out of bounds. You couldn't get it there. It's a pick six. It's just pick six. It's just not a smart play.
Right.
But I think more than anything else, I'm impressed by Buffalo's defense in this game.
Yeah.
With all that they've lost, Milano's out for the year. Poyer's playing for Miami. Hyde is in L.A. They've completely revamped that unit. Their front four is still pretty much intact. But what do you think allows for that defense to look this good against one of the juggernaut offenses in the NFL, given all of the turnover that it had in the offseason in the last couple of years under McDermott, Pat?
Controlling the line of scrimmage, you know, you can just see from the jump, the Buffalo Bills control the line of scrimmage from a run standpoint, from a drop back pass standpoint. Situations when Tua had opportunity to drop back and pass, they was just in his face interrupting everything that the Dolphins was trying to do, you know, far as offensively during that game, you know. So it started up front, and then it gave the guys on the back end opportunity to eat, you know, as we saw a couple early throws that calls into the receiver, not even, you know, looking into, you know, not even looking back for the ball, hitting him on the shoulder. Then like you just said, the ill-advised one, the pick six, that was just something, you know, one of those ones that I know he wish he could have had back, or just put a little bit more power on it to throw it out of bounds. But yeah, just the defensive line, you know,
is it schematic or is it the talent they have up front?
I want to say the talent that they have up front. I think they really got some real dogs up front with Oliver, with Vaughn, with Russo, and the other guys that followed them. But, you know, having guys coming off the edge like the Buffalo Bills do, and you have someone in the interior that can avoid or put fear in the quarterback into stepping up, that's a recipe for success, you know, because as you know, I know the first couple of years, you know, the passing numbers have been down, you know, league wide, but we all know that this league has become a passing league, and you need to have pass rushers that's able to disrupt the quarterback's timing to get those guys off their first read, to help them, you know, to help them hold the ball, you know, that much longer to help the rush get there.
James Cook had 3 touchdowns, but if you watch the game, Josh Allen turned in an incredible performance. He was excellent. Some of the Houdini plays he made, some of the off-script plays he made, some of the ways he threaded the needle to obviously a whole new revamped set of wide receivers with Diggs in Houston and now Davis in Jacksonville. Pat, I don't know how active you are on social media, but I got ratioed during this game. Ratioed means everybody sees your opinion and then they like immediately disagree with it and try to make you out to be the worst person on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so what I said was, and I want to hear your take on this, what I said was, and people thought this was a derogatory comment, I said, Josh Allen to me is a poor man's Ben Roethlisberger. I see some Ben Roethlisberger qualities, not Ben Roethlisberger at 38 years old,
right,
but Ben going back to his 20s in Josh, And Bills fans, like, they, you know, jump on tables in parking lots before games. That's what they were doing to me on social media. Like, they were so angry over this. And I had to say, like, guys, I meant this as a compliment. Like, I was not saying this as a way of attacking this person. He reminds me of a guy who I think is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, you played against Josh Allen. You were in that that memorable game with Minnesota a couple years ago. He was voted one of the most overrated players in the NFL by executives, which some people freaked out about too. you're laughing as I say that. So that means you probably disagree with that, Pat.
No, I'm just laughing at, you know, both statements, honestly. I mean, I don't think Josh is overrated. I just think, you know, the media, I won't say give him a lot of credit. They just don't criticize him as much as they do other quarterbacks.
I agree.
So I think that's where a lot of people think that he's overrated, that they pump him up a lot more when they think he should receive criticism. So, and what was your first question again about about Ben Roethlisberger? I think that's a great comparison, because both of those guys have big body frames. Both of those guys stand in the pocket strong. Not one guy can bring them down. Unbelievable arm strength. No matter what the score is, they're always going to have a chance to win the ball game. Gunslingers. You know, just tough, hard-nosed quarterbacks. And I don't see nothing wrong with that comparison at all.
Thank you. Now I'm going to tell people, get off my back, one of the great football players of the last 20 years.
And he's a two-time champion.
That's why I said poor man's. If I said equal to, Steelers fans would have wanted to beat the crap out of me. So, all right, let's now do what we're famous for on this podcast, and let's get to the games in week two. The Sunday night primetime game, Pat, is the Bears and Texans. They're showcasing Caleb Williams in week two. And C.J. Stroud, who is, in my opinion, the guy who is destined for stardom and ready to make that big jump. You guys saw him last year and how good he is.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, Caleb Williams, do you think he'll match or exceed C.J. Stroud's rookie year? There is a ton of hype on Williams. Do you think he can match what Stroud did in Houston last year?
I mean, he has the potential to. With the weapons that he have and how good their defense is, almost have the same makeup, to be quite honest with you, with the last year's Houston team, now with this year's Chicago Bears team. But I don't see it happening. I don't see him exceeding or matching what C.J. Stroud was able to do last year. To me, just C.J., is so much more of a pro style quarterback. He's able to, you know, sit back in the pocket, dissect defenses. Not saying that Caleb can't do that. And just saying, far as what I've seen him in college, you know that college is a lot of backyard football.
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem like the offense that he came from was really, really prototypical on things that he's going to run on this level, you know. So I feel like CJ had a head start in that regards of coming in pro ready, like right now. And he was able to prove that throughout his rookie campaign. So I think it's going to be tough. I think it is a possibility because it has potential. He has the potential to do that. But I just don't see it happening just because of how pro-ready I feel that C.J. Stroud was when he came into the league and being in the same position that Caleb Williams is in right now.
Spencer, when you get a second here, give us Stroud's rookie season touchdown to interception, because the interception rate was one of the best as a rookie. He actually led the NFL. He led the NFL in two things last year, Pat. Lowest interception rate and actually most passing yards per game, which is crazy that a rookie did that. And especially on a team where they weren't losing every game, it was 23 touchdowns to five interceptions.
So I'm saying,
Caleb Williams is going to throw five interceptions before we get to Columbus Day. Right. Okay. I agree with what you said. Belichick said the same thing and got criticized for it on his NFL show. He said, I watched him at USC and in the preseason, everything's off schedule.
Yeah.
And that's not where you're going to make your living as an NFL quarterback. So he's already got wide receivers hurt. The thing is, and I've said this before, I think their defense is good enough where if he doesn't screw it up, I think they can win 9 or 10 games and make the playoffs. And we saw that against Tennessee. They had two pick sixes and a punt block for touchdown. Yeah, so we're going to start with an agreement here. I would be stunned if Williams came close to Stroud's production. Stroud has a calmness and a poise about him that I have not seen. He's already
been there before.
You know what, though, Pat? You say that, but these Ohio State quarterbacks had a reputation for putting up big numbers in college and it not translating.
Right. But not CJ.
No, man. And I was wrong about him. I was not bullish before last year started. And then I watched your game against him in week 3, and I go, holy crap.
He can play,
this guy
man.
Looked like he's 30 years old.
He could play.
Cowboys and Saints, 2-1-0 teams.
Yep.
Dallas got the Dak Prescott deal done and the CD Lamb contract done. So those guys now have nothing to worry about. So you've been in NFL locker rooms. I've only been in there when they give the media access. It's not the same thing. Do you think getting those deals done affects the outlook for the season? So now that two marquee players aren't thinking about their contract, aren't thinking about their future, does that actually make things easier on the Cowboys this season? Take us inside the mind of an elite NFL player in a situation like this.
I think it does 100%. Just because now, like you said, now we have the security. Now there's nothing to be thinking about or wondering when the deal is going to happen or if my payday is ever going to come from the team, if you want to be there, from the team where I really want to be. You know, so having that contract done, it definitely gives the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, clarity moving into the season. Now that the contract is done, now we don't have to worry about our payday. We have our payday. Now we can just focus on winning ball games and trying to win this ultimate goal, which is a Super Bowl that I know the world wants to see the Cowboys do that we haven't seen them done in a while.
Just the way you're motivated as a supreme athlete, when you would get on a 1-year deal or on the last year of your contract, how would that affect you?
For me, like I was always in the mindset of like I have to lock in to where I have to raise my price or prove what I am worth, you know, if I'm trying to get forward or trying to get another deal, because that's at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. If you're on your last year of your deal or just signed a 1-year deal, it's all about what have you done for me lately. So it's all almost like a prove it game all over again. So that, at least that's my mindset. I don't know how everybody else is going about it, but that's at least my mindset. But also at the end of the day, when I had the privilege to play the game, the money and all of that was good, but like I love the game. Like I love the process of the game. Like I love waking up 5:30 in the morning, going to get in the hot tub, getting in the sauna, getting the workout in, watching film before the guys, you know, come into the building, you know, getting into those team meeting rooms. Like those are things that you love and that you miss when you're away from the game. And those are moments that I never took for granted, because those moments are just so precious, you know. So when you love the game, man, like all that other stuff is just extra to me. Like the paycheck, it came direct deposit. Yeah, that's cool. Let's go do it again, because like my main goal was like I played the game to not only be the best, but to win a championship, to feel that confetti. Obviously, I wasn't able to fulfill that goal, but that was my drive each and every day that I woke up to walk into whatever team I was playing for.
Yeah, I'm not a morning person at all. So that whole waking up at 5:30 in the morning thing, Pat, would not have gone great with me. I can do like the 5 a.m. if I'm still up from the night before, but not 5 a.m. alarm going off.